Welcome back to Conservative Conversations. It's your host, Reed, and it'll be just me today. I'll be talking about the Supreme Court ruling that Trump can stay on the Colorado ballot, and I'll be talking about Alabama's state Supreme Court ruling that fertilized embryos are considered minor children, and more. And before I get started today, listeners, I want to remind you to please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. And also, you can follow us on YouTube. We would greatly appreciate it. And to start off, I'll be talking about what's probably the biggest news is the Supreme Court has ruled that Colorado is not allowed to remove Donald Trump from the ballot in the state of Colorado. It was a 9-0 decision, which is important to note, because we've talked about before on our show how there are some people on the left and the far left who say that this is a corrupt court and they're only trying to help Donald Trump. But this was a unanimous decision. All justices voted together, although they had differing opinions on the ruling, but it was still a 9-0 vote, which is good. But they ruled, decided and said that states like Colorado, well, actually said a couple things. One of the things they said was that Congress has to provide a definition of what an insurrection is relating to the 14th Amendment, I believe, Section 3. And then they just said that states such as Colorado are not allowed to remove federal candidates from ballots since, you know, they're federal candidates and that'd be a federal issue, not just a state issue. If Donald Trump were running for the governor of Colorado, then they would certainly be allowed to do so since that is a state office. But given that, again, that this is a federal position, there one state or many states being able to remove a candidate from the ballot has an impact on everybody in the country. So that's a good decision, because this also applies to, well, theoretically, I would assume, applies to, you know, Republican states, led states, trying to remove you know, say Joe Biden from any ballots. They wouldn't be allowed to, since, again, that Joe Biden's running for the position of the presidency, which is a federal position, and the state would not have the ability to remove him from the ballot. So this goes in favor of both ways, even though this was primarily concerning, you know, Donald Trump being removed from the ballot, but part of the court's decision also protects Donald Trump, not Donald, Joe Biden, and any of the other Democrats. So that's good news and big news that happened on Monday of this week as you listen to the episode. So another thing, I'll probably just be talking briefly about a few stories here and there. But the next story was kind of big news over the weekend. Was on, I believe it was last Friday, as I'm recording, that Senator Mitch McConnell had announced that at the end of this current session of Congress, he will not be running for the position of the Senate, or the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. He'll still be a senator. He has a few years left in his term, but he's not going to be running to be, he's not going to be running for the position to be the Republican leader, whether it be the minority or majority leader of the Republican Party in the Senate. So that's kind of big news. There's already a few Republican senators announcing that they're going to run for the position, but we got a little ways to go, so it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. It does seem like a pretty decent time for Mitch McConnell to to step down from the leadership because the party has changed. The Republican Party has changed. People call it, they say it's Trump's party, which since he's the primary leader of the party currently, that'd be true. And also, as Mitch McConnell said himself in his speech, and you know, in his own words, but he's getting old, and you know, it's time for him to step down, which is good. We've talked about before how it's time for a lot of these old people in leadership positions to, you know, step down and allow, not even if it's not necessarily younger members, but members who more reflect the current, you know, beliefs and ideology of the party, which in ways Mitch McConnell doesn't really represent because he's kind of an old-fashioned Republican, if you will. And the current mood of the party doesn't really fit that anymore. So, I mean, a lot of people don't really like Mitch McConnell too much. I can't really say if I do or don't. I don't have too much of a problem with him. He's not really a politician I follow very much, but I do understand his importance that he played in the Senate and as the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. If it wasn't for him, we likely wouldn't have the makeup of the Supreme Court that we have. It was his decision to not fill the vacancy in the Supreme Court during the last year of President Obama's administration. And if it weren't for that, you know, Merrick Garland would be on the, likely had been put on the Supreme Court. And, you know, it's one of those things that you don't really know how things would have turned out. So I think Mitch McConnell certainly played an important part in the Senate. And it'll be time for us to move on, see who's going to lead us there, and hopefully, you know, advance conservative policies, you know, and rally the votes in a similar way that Mitch McConnell could. All right, so next story. As recently, the Alabama State Supreme Court had ruled that, or decided that, embryos or fertilized embryos are considered minor children. And this came about because there was, I believe, three families who had sued a storage facility for, like, fertilized embryos, like a medical storage facility of sorts. And there had been an accident where these families' fertilized embryos had been damaged, if you will, or some might say killed, I guess. I'm trying not to use legal terms since I'm not that up on my legalese. But anyway, the embryos were lost. You know, they weren't going to be able to be put in, I believe, you know, in a uterus and continue to be developed into a baby. So the family sued the storage facility, claiming, you know, under like a wrongful death suit, and you know, it went up through the court in the state Supreme Court of Alabama, and the judge, where the court just ruled that, you know, fertilized embryos can be considered minor children. And a lot of people are, not really a lot, but some people are concerned about this case because they think it might impact IVF fertilization or pregnancies and might make it harder to offer those types of methods for people to have children. And I think it's a pretty interesting case. As somebody who is pro-life, it makes sense that these fertilized embryos would be considered a minor child, just like any other stage of development would be for the baby. Because I believe one of the judges had pointed out, and I don't have his exact words here in front of me, but he basically said that the time and place shouldn't really matter. I mean, it's the same, you know, developing embryo and fetus that's there now that it will be in a couple months when it's starting to grow its little fingers and toes and starting to develop into what wouldn't be recognized as a baby. And even later, after it's born, it's still the same person. It's still the same little human. So I think it makes sense that, you know, particularly in a pro-life-leaning state such as Alabama, that a court would rule this way. And it just seems like, you know, places that offer IVF services just have to be more careful about how the embryos and such are handled so that people are more careful with them, they're stored more properly. Some of the controversy is that, you know, for cost-saving measures, because it's an expensive thing to go through, oftentimes a whole bunch of eggs are fertilized, and then only one or two get picked out of the whole lot that are going to be, you know, further developed. And pro-life people believe all those fertilized embryos are life, you know, all equal lives. And if you're just discarding the ones you're not using, you know, you're discarding a whole life that doesn't need to be. So there are definitely some implications to how, well, it seems that there will be implications to how IVFs are done and handled and managed. But I think this was a good ruling, in my opinion. I'm sure some of our listeners may agree, and some may not. It'll be interesting to hear from anybody that doesn't. Okay, next topic. It's more of like a, just something I felt like talking about. As I was listening to our last episode when we had our friend Dustin on, you know, as I was like editing and everything, there's a couple of things that he had mentioned that kind of stood out to me that I wanted to talk about. It's not really specifically, you know, about anything of Dustin's opinions, just something that he said that made me think about something else, particularly around liberty. And in my opinion, I thought that I don't think that libertarianism works all that well, particularly in our country the way it's structured now, or not even related to the way it's structured, just in general. Because one of the key things that Dustin said that kind of stood out to me is if someone wants to smoke crack, let them smoke crack. Well, I think it sounds good to suggest that people have that kind of freedom to do such a thing if they want to do, but it doesn't really work all that well. Particularly when if you're actually talking about hard drugs and stuff like crack, meth, heroin, and such. Because, you know, if it's one thing to believe people should have the freedom to do those things, which I think in a way can be bad, because we're sort of watching it play out now in the state of Oregon. A couple years ago, they passed Measure 110, which decriminalized hard drugs, you know, including crack, meth, heroin, and the like. And it has been a complete disaster, so much that some of the same people, some of the, you know, politicians in the state of Oregon who voted to pass the Measure 110 are now trying to vote to pass a new bill to repeal it because it's gone so terribly. So the thought of, yeah, if people want to smoke crack, let them smoke crack, sounds cool, you know, allowing people to have that kind of freedom. But it doesn't really work out, because eventually, we're not just talking about the people who are doing the crack smoking that is involved. it affects other people. You know, homelessness goes up. Of course, crime goes up related to drug use. People, quality of life goes down. That's some of the complaints that are happening in Oregon right now. And, I think a decent-hearted person wouldn't really want to just let people smoke crack if they want to smoke crack, because it's not good for them. At least for the most people, I'm sure you could probably pick out somebody somewhere who leads a relatively productive life, who smokes crack or does heroin or whatever on the weekends. But for the vast majority of the people, that's not the case. It's damaging to them and to the people around them, to the ones they know and the ones they don't know. So eventually, you get to the point where one person's freedom of being able to smoke crack if they want to infringes on the freedoms of other people. Right to feel safe in their neighborhood, the right to not be mugged because somebody's got to get some money to go get their fix again. I mean, and there was a time, probably back in my college days, where I probably would have certainly agreed more with the idea of libertarianism, but people's opinions can change on stuff like that, and mine certainly have. And it's not just, the topic of drug use, where I don't think libertarianism works either. Some libertarians believe in open borders, which sounds good, but this is where the structure of our country definitely plays a part. We can't have open borders while having a lot of government benefit programs that people could come here and take advantage of. Now, you can probably talk about how you can just set up the programs so that people who come here like that through an open borders program can't take those benefits, which I suppose could be worked out eventually, but you still already have people who come here illegally who can sometimes steal social security numbers and get identities and find their way into the system. I'm not suggesting that's even close to a huge problem. I'm sure it's a very minuscule amount of people who would do that, or that do that. But in general, you have to, if you're going to offer programs for government benefits, you have to be able to control the people that come in. Because there has to be a fine balance between the people who pay into the programs and the people who are taken from the programs. So that's just kind of some of my thoughts on the libertarianism that got me thinking after listening to our last episode. And finally, the last thing I'll cover, it's sort of a news story, but not really a news story. We've talked about before how Grover Cleveland has been the only person to be president serving non-consecutive terms. And in my opinion, I think Donald Trump's going to be the second person in history to do such a thing. And recently on the Fox News Rundown podcast, one of the hosts did a little interview with Karl Rove, which some of you may know or recognize his name. And they were talking about Grover Cleveland and his presidency, or two presidencies, and how he managed to serve two non-consecutive terms. I thought it was pretty interesting, especially since I've been talking about it and hyping it up, that I think that history will be made again, with Donald Trump being the second person to have non-consecutive presidential terms. So if anybody is interested in hearing that little interview and learning a little bit more about Grover Cleveland, I'll have a link to the episode in the show notes in the description. So I just wanted to be able to share that with you because I thought it was pretty neat. Well, listeners, if you enjoyed this shortened episode, please follow on your favorite podcast platform. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can just search at Conservative Conversations 92, and we should come up. And we also hope you'll like, comment, and leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this, and share it with a friend. And, as always, thank you for listening.